Hi, I'm James Arnold. I'm the Co-Global Head of Strategic Insights and Advisory in Global Banking at UBS. The purpose of these series of podcasts is to talk to colleagues within Global Banking about some of the biggest topics impacting financial markets. Today, I am joined by Nestor Paz Galindo, who is the Co-Global Head of M&A, to talk about the outlook as we move into 2024. So welcome, Nestor, and let's start with a nice broad question. What are your expectations for the M&A cycle as we enter 2024?
Thank you, James. Thanks for having me in your podcast. Indeed, 24 needs to be seen in the context of a cycle. If you look back to 2021, that was definitely the peak of the cycle. It had bubble-like signs post-COVID, and given the popularity of de-SPACs at the time, I recorded roughly 60% higher volumes than the average of the previous 5 years. And over the last 2 years, we've seen a decline of around 30% each year, in total more than 50% decline since the peak. So if we think in that context, and you're looking at the previous cycles, it roughly takes 2 to 3 years to have cycles play out. I think we are fast approaching the end of the downward stage of the current cycle. And as always, the US is the one that usually have a first recovery. I think we are already seeing signs there in the US with the recent mega deals by American energy companies. And we think that Europe will follow that. Probably we will see the bottom of the cycle in H1 24 and the expansion again starting in H2 24.
Yeah, thanks for that, Nestor. Let's get into a bit of detail here. Let's break down the M&A market between sort of two different key constituencies, so corporates and private equity. But let's start with the outlook for corporate M&A as we head into 24.
Yes, on the corporate side, M&A has been driven mainly by cash-rich corporates doing bolt-on acquisition or strengthening their positions in key verticals. So we have not seen the large transformational transaction. It has been more in the 1 to 2 or 2 to 5 billion type of range, driven by cash-rich corporates. Mega deals will have to come back. This past year has decreased significantly in size, and that is due mainly to poor confidence, concerns about macro, concerns about geopolitical risk, certain concerns about regulatory uncertainty. But as things evolve, and in order to basically have the M&A market come back, we think the board confidence will need to come back and play out in the next quarters.
So turning our attention to private equity, there appears to be sort of both really interesting challenges and opportunities, I guess. So challenges, given the reduction in the amount of private equity selling that's been going on from existing portfolios, but perhaps a significant opportunity for private equity as they have really significant dry powder to put to work as we work through 2024.
Indeed, and PE M&A activity has suffered the most over the last 12-18 months, and this is basically both on the supply side, i.e. exits, as well as on the acquisition side. Just an interesting statistic on the supply side, this past year we've seen on a global basis roughly 200 portfolio companies exiting. That's down from an average of around 600 exits on a global basis. So significant decrease in activity on the exit side. And that's mainly because of the bid-ask spread between that we've seen in on the PE world. But it's also creating a huge backlog of vintage assets that will have to come back to the market as investors need to basically return capital. So we expect that activity to come back, given the backlog. On the demand side, it was driven mainly by difficulties in the financing market, as well as basically views on value. But the dry powder of PE is still there, close to $4 trillion of dry powder globally. So they need to deploy capital. And as the financing market is coming back, we will see PEs more active on the acquisition front. We think that they will be much more focused on primary assets, and primary assets will come in the form of P2Ps. So if the financing market helps that, there should be more activity on the P2P side. And then obviously potentially some secondaries coming from some PEs as the financing market comes back.
So just to draw all this together, I mean, just about everything in financial markets is cyclical and driven by confidence. So, you know, I was reading this, roughly 2 billion people next year facing an election in the countries they live in. So, you know, when you think about risks and confidence and the signposts that will be important for this M&A journey through 2024, what's on your list?
Yes. So given the expectations that interest rates worldwide are peaking, we're confident that the PE activity, as I mentioned before, will materially recover during 24. And on the corporate side, I think the corporates with strong balance sheets will continue pursuing their bolt-on acquisitions and strengthening their position and also having corporate clarity. But in order for the M&A market to come back with significant force, we need to have the key catalyst for the mega deals to come back. And that requires confirmation, basically, that the major central banks have succeeded in executing a soft landing. That's going to be a key criteria that everybody's going to watch for the next months. Visibility on, you mentioned the geopolitical risk and the elections, you know, and this has to be visibility on the geopolitical risk. 40% of the global population will go through political elections in 24, including the US, India, and UK. So that will be an interesting driver to watch. There needs to be also stable corporate earnings, especially with moving in interest rates and how those basically it pans out in terms of corporate earnings. And that will support the boardroom's confidence in executing M&A. There's a mild impact on the results and corporate board confidence increases. It will basically help in the execution of major transactions. And finally, I will say, we will need to have a break from macro surprises. Over the last 2 or 3 years, we had every 6-12 months surprises, you know, COVID, Ukraine, SVB default. So if we have a break of surprises and have a steady state element and more confidence, we think that, you know, those will be the key drivers in order to basically get the M&A market moving again.
Yeah, thank you, Nestor, fascinating. And I guess in that context, you know, S&P at highs, bond yields off their highs, and market volatility at multi-year lows, it sort of starts to feel like some of those things are being put in place. But perhaps I should just finish up by saying thank you very much for joining us today. And we'll definitely get you back on as we head through this journey in 24 and start to see hopefully this cycle recovering. And I guess finally, just thanks to everybody that's listened to the podcast today.
Thank you, James.